Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to be in your house with such beautiful people. Help us to honor you today with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions. Help us to extend that to everyone we meet throughout this week and month. And thank you so much that you go before us, that you cover us with your grace and your mercy, and you're such a good, good God. Amen. We're in Mark chapter 5 now, and on... can't see a thing with these glasses. We're on page 1534 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along there, or we'll have the text up on the wall as well. Jesus has just, the previous chapter, he'd calmed the storm, and he's demonstrated that he's got, he has power over nature. He created all things, and when he tells the storm to stop being a storm, it stops. And he is going along here. They go across this big lake where the storm had taken place. There's a little bit different variation in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew. This same story has two individuals that are in the state that this gentleman's in. In Mark and Luke, it only mentions one. So I don't know if there was just different perception or how that works, but I know that this is another story of God's mercy, God's grace, and let's just dive into it. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. That would have been... not a Jewish region, but it would have been a Gentile region. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit, or two men, according to Matthew, came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. I'd like to say that we've got a better handle as a society now on mental illness or whatever this would have looked like. A demon-possessed individual, he's been having problems, and society was like, okay, well, let's put him out of the populated area. I think that's kind of what we try to do sometimes too, is just get them out of sight, out of mind, and push them away. We can't deal with it. And then the next thing, it's like, okay, well, he's going to hurt himself or somebody else. Let's confine him. Let's chain him up. And that didn't work. And pretty much what I see from this is man's solutions to problems generally aren't that successful. Most of us know somebody that we could have described partially like this, maybe not to that extent, but we've all met people that are not in their right mind, and they're kind of rushing around, and they're doing harm to themselves, they're doing harm to others around them. They kind of bring fear to whatever circumstances they're in. They show up, and people try to tiptoe around them, walking on eggshells, so you don't set them off. But if they do get set off, then you want to make sure that you've got some space between you. It's uncomfortable to be around people that don't have control of themselves. How many of us have also experienced that in our own lives? I know in the past I've had experiences where I didn't have control of myself. And it's not what you wake up in the morning thinking, I think I'm going to go crazy today and hurt somebody. And yet, in the flesh, in our own strength, we can't even control ourselves. And as a society, we can't control people that are starting to lose it. That's obvious this week. Somebody goes into a person's home in San Francisco, and there's a struggle and a hammer and brain damage. And this was with the police officers in the room, in their presence. It's like we cannot solve the problems that are taking place in our society with human strength. We need Jesus. Amen. We need Jesus badly. Mm-hmm. And this demonstrates to me that it wasn't like there was no effort. That the people had tried to do what they could for this gentleman. or gentlemen, if it's the Matthew passage with two. They've done what they could. How many of us have tried to speak reason into somebody's life and gotten nothing but grief back? And you know, it happens. There's people that we know that, and again, they're not wanting to be that way. When I had fits of rage and anger, it wasn't because I wanted to. I would lose control. And you know, it's not an excuse, it's an explanation. Mental health issues in the United States have been a problem for a long, long time. And over the decades, we've tried different methods. There's an awful lot of, you know, let's just let them go and let's let them do what they need to do and we can't hold them accountable or responsible. That doesn't solve the problem. It's still there. So we look at this. I mean, night and day, this guy's, he's up in the tombs. He's in the graveyard. He's running around in the hills. He's crying out. He's not acting normal. And he's cutting himself. And again, that's another symptom of it. When people start feeling totally overwhelmed, oftentimes they go to self-harm. Especially young kids, it seems like a lot of teenagers, especially, have cuttings. I mean, they'll just take a razor because their life is so awful that they think this pain is going to help them feel less. It's something serious. It's something real. We have to be aware of it. How can we help? How can we do something? People tried, and not successfully. So Jesus has just landed here. He sees this gentleman come out to him. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Was that him speaking? Most likely not. It was probably the demon that was within him. Recognized who Jesus was. You know, James, when we read the book of James, it talks about how the demons believe and shudder. If we see Jesus coming, hopefully our reaction is going to be, "Yes, Lord, come on, let's embrace, let's have a good time together. We're so grateful that you're here. We know that we're safe when you're here." When this entity sees Jesus, he fears. He fears that Jesus is going to torture him. He feels like something terrible is going to happen. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." So they're having a conversation. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Again, Scripture talks about how somebody might be demon-possessed, and so, you know, there'll be a way where people pray for them, that demon goes away, and you think, okay, problem solved, right? I've heard a number of people think that if there's a certain individual or a certain problem that's been dealt with, that that's going to make the world a better place. In fact, you know, even recently, people are thinking, well, if Vladimir Putin was taken out, that the world would be a better place. And yet the reality is, when you take somebody out that you think is a terrible person, that void gets filled by a whole lot more other worse, terrible people, or in this case, demons. So this gentleman that's running around cutting himself in the tombs has multiple influences on him. Multiple. And it's probably one of those situations. It's like, we all have a need for something in our lives. And I don't know if he'd ever had a normal life. I'm assuming he did, because at the end of this story, Jesus says, "Go back to your people." So he had people. How many of us have family members that struggle with alcohol, drugs, other issues, anxieties, worries, that they need Jesus, they need help, and yet they don't accept or want it? Does that mean we love them any less? So he's established here that there's a lot of bad influence, a lot of demonic influence in this individual. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. For some reason, whatever these demons were, they wanted to stay in that area. They felt like that was their regional area. There's a lot of studies on demonology, and one of the things is that spiritual forces seem to have regions and areas where they stay. I don't know for sure with Skycomish, but what I do know is that in the 11 years that Kathy and I have been here, we've seen an improvement in the society of Skycomish. We've seen people growing in grace. We've seen people that have been just not only, I mean, you can see it with some of the buildings and stuff looking better and all of that. That's nice, but you're seeing people's demeanor change. When we first got here 11 years ago, oftentimes we would meet somebody and the first or second thing out of their mouth was they would tell us, well, yeah, we don't like so-and-so, don't talk to them. Well, you can talk to them because you're the pastor, but we don't have any fellowship with them. We don't talk to them. We're talking about people that were Christians that should have been loving each other. And there it wasn't just one or two people that were like that. It seemed like there were a lot of them in Skycomish. We're not seeing that or hearing that. And I appreciate that, you know, occasionally we still do, but most of the time now, people are willing to at least overlook a difference and demonstrate some grace and start to show some more of Holy Spirit fruit, the character of God, being slow to anger, rich in love. I'm seeing more and more of that, and I'm loving that. And it's not like we haven't arrived. We can get better and better at this. But just demonstrating, okay? Now, whatever entities were in this region when Kathy and I moved here 11 years ago, I don't know that they're all still here. I think some of them have scattered and had to leave. Scripture talks about if you've got God with you, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why is that? Well, because the devil looks and it's like, it's not because he's afraid of me. It's like, okay, that guy has got the hand of God on him. That lady has the hand of God on her. And so when the enemy looks and says, wow, I can't fight that. I'm going somewhere else. And so they'll flee. Well, they're begging, don't take us out of this region, out of this area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. Now, of course, you know, when you're reading literature and commentaries, all kinds of stories about, well, if these were Jewish pig herders, they shouldn't have been doing that because that's against the Jewish laws. They most likely were Gentile pig herders. And there's these herds of pigs, and there's this large herd. The demons beg Jesus, send us among the pigs. It's kind of a weird thing, you know, and they're asking for something. And you know, Jesus showed mercy to these demons by giving them their request. I don't know why. I mean, if I'm God, it's like, no, you're dead, you're through, boom, done. We are not slow to anger like God is. And he allows for them to go into this herd of pigs. He gave them permission. The impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number. Now, I've seen, you know, 40 pigs together. That can be a little bit scary. Okay? Pigs are not a fun animal to hang out with, let's tell you. They can be aggressive. In fact, that's one of the things we kept hearing about in Hawaii. What was these wild boars that are running around and digging up everybody's garden and ruining their yards and attacking them on trails. And it's, okay, we get attacked by bears, they're getting attacked by wild boar. Pigs are mean. They're not nice characters, okay? They're not cute like in the movies, the cartoons. Porky Pig, blah, 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 blah. Okay. They gave him permission to go into the herd of pigs. There's about 2,000 of them. And they rushed down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Again, I don't understand that. I know they're trying to cause this man harm and causing him to harm himself, but why would they do that to the pigs? And how does that help them? what happens to the demons after they've drowned themselves in pigs? A lot of confusion, a lot of questions, no answers. I can't help you on that. Those tending the pigs, okay, now here we're, you know, these people have a job. Their job is to watch for these pigs, take care of them, right? And they just watched their whole herd run off and drown themselves in the lake. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. Okay, so this guy, he had a reputation. Everybody kind of in town knew about him. And they saw him out here. He's sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I'm wondering, were they afraid because they thought, well, this is just some kind of, he's going to flip again, we got to watch out for him, or were they afraid because they saw the power when they heard this story about all the pigs and the demons had left him? They're a little bit frightened that there's a power among them that's something they can't control. We as humans have a tendency to want to control all of our own circumstances. We want to be able to make things happen the way we want them to happen. This gentleman, when he's cutting himself and running through the tombs, he wasn't in control of himself. Now the pigs weren't in control of themselves, and the people coming from the town that see all this and hear this story, it's like they don't think they can control anything about what's going on here. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Again, I mean, that kind of twists my mind a little bit. It's like, okay, Jesus is here. He's demonstrated some mercy on this guy. He's freed him from a life of bondage and trouble and pain. And that seems like, to me, it would be a good thing. It's like when Jesus is at the temple and he's healed somebody and all the religious leaders are upset because he did it on a Sunday or a Saturday, whatever, on the Sabbath. Where do our minds go? That rather than saying, wow, this is a miracle, this is wonderful, Jesus, what else can you do in our community here? There's a few other problems. You know, I've got a list of people that you need to talk to. They start trying to plead with Jesus to leave, to go away. And again, Jesus was given a request by the demons, put us into the pigs, and he did. He showed mercy there and did what they asked. These people asked Jesus to leave, and he's like, okay. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Okay, here's the third request in this story. The first two had been granted. The demons had their request granted. The unbelievers that wanted to push Jesus out of their community had their request granted. And here's a guy that has had his life changed. And he's asking Jesus, can I go with you? I've never felt so good. I know if I stay with you, I'll be okay. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that's an area with 10 little cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. As we look through the scripture and in history, we find out that there was a large growth in the church. In followers of Jesus, believers started coming to Christ. Probably much of it was to do with this gentleman out there witnessing and telling others. He went back to his family that had probably tried to get him out of their community and locked up and chained up, and you know, they didn't know what to do with him. They had enough of him, and now he's back in his right mind and explaining to them, there's a guy named Jesus. He can make things better. this is what Jesus did for me. You know, our testimonies can be very powerful. If Jesus has changed who you are, be willing to share that with others. If he hasn't, go to him. He will. I think too often we're more like the demons saying, hey, we're comfortable here. Don't change anything. Don't make us go anywhere else. Or we're maybe more like the residents of these cities that came out and said, I just want you to go. We push Jesus away. I think we can embrace Jesus knowing that he's merciful, that he's gracious, that he's good. As this gentleman goes around the Decapolis and tells people, this is what happened to me. This is my testimony. All the people were amazed. When you see the before and the after, God has changed so many of us. I know, you know, people that have known me in the past and know me now. We knew a gentleman named Raymond when we were in Maine. And we knew him as the sweetest, nicest guy that you could ever imagine. Got to know him really well, got to hang out with him and his family, and he had had some older kids that had already grown and gone and were making families of their own, and he had younger kids that were still there on the farm with him. It's one of the places I got to meet a lot of pigs. He had pigs. We got to slop the pig pen out, and, you know, it was deep. Anyway, we got to know Raymond, and he was just the sweetest, nicest guy, and then we started talking to some of his older kids, and they said, well, he wasn't always like that. He was an angry man. He was mean. He was bitter. He would beat us. They had stories that it's like, no, this couldn't even be the same person. Got talking to his wife. He would take her to church and sit in the parking lot in Maine with, you know, minus 20 degrees temperatures. He'd sit out there and not go into the church because he didn't want to have anything to do with God. And then God touched him and changed him. And I've seen that so often in myself and others where God can get a hold of us and he can make us new creatures. And so when this demonic possessed man's running around cutting himself, that's one view of him. But then it's like, oh, but there's this other side. Jesus released me. Jesus saved me. Yeah, people will be amazed when they see the changes. And I'm hoping that we can share those changes that Jesus has had on our own lives with the people around us. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and all you've done. So grateful that you care, that you are patient, that you are loving and kind. Help us to never push you away or ask for comfort, Lord, but help us to honor you with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.